brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. And I am here on KGov, not on Hardball, on CNBC. We had thought today I'd be doing an interview with Chris Matthews and that about missile defense. And that's not going to happen. But Alan Combs of Hannity and Combs fame said, hey, if Bob didn't do missile defense on Hardball today, maybe I'll have him on my radio show tomorrow. Because liberals are against a missile defense shield, and conservatives support it. And that's why Chris Matthews on Hardball is against it. Now, we have a younger audience than usual here in the studio anteroom out here. And so I'm going to explain what a missile defense shield is, because I don't know if Jake knows what one is. All right? In a nuclear war, the Soviet Union, which is now collapsed, the communists, Russia, they could launch missiles at us over the ocean, over the North Pole even, and hit Chicago with a nuclear weapon. And it would be really cool if we could shoot down those missiles while they're being launched or coming at us. Wouldn't that be cool if we could shoot down the missiles? That'd be cool. Not only that, some terrorist or madman like Saddam Hussein, he might spend $100 million and buy a missile launch and shoot a missile at us just because he's ticked off. He killed his own son-in-law because he didn't like him. He doesn't like the Bush's family any. So who knows what could happen? China is very aggressive against us. So let's say a terrorist or some former Soviet republic or the Chinese communist, somebody launches a missile at us and it's coming at Denver. Now, if it was going to blow up over Denver, a modern one of these super megaton nuclear warhead missiles, we'd all be dead. Even though our KGov studio is in a bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, even though we're in an underground bunker right now, we'd still get wiped out. Because we'd go to Good Times for a Pepsi, and we'd be in the fallout, and we'd die. So what conservatives say is, well, if somebody shoots a missile at us, we'd like to shoot it down before it hits us. That seems like common sense. Liberals are completely against that idea. They absolutely hate it. They don't want us to do, it's called Star Wars or a missile defense shield. They say, no way, don't do it. It's a waste of money. We can't do it. We don't have any. They're just whining and nagging. And what I realized, and maybe I'll make this argument with Alan Combs on his radio show on the East Coast tomorrow, if that interview comes through, we're presenting it to liberals incorrectly. We shouldn't be talking about saving people from being blown up. We should just be talking about animals. We should tell them that few endangered species can survive a direct nuclear hit. Hey, guys, if a nuclear weapon lands on Denver, you know there's this little mouse that hops in Colorado, and it's endangered. It'll be wiped out. And I think they'll sign up. If we tell them that a nuke exploding will violate America's clean air policy, they'll go for the shield. They'll pay for it out of the EPA budget. We've got to take a different approach. That's what we need to do. You know, liberals care more about saving the spotted owl than the American family, so we just got to sell this right. I tell them, look, a missile defense shield, it'll reduce global warming, fill the ozone hole, and save trees. And they're all for it, and that's it. So in the billions, what's billions and billions of dollars if you're going to save a mole, right? Some endangered mole. They don't care how much you got to spend. So there's billions and billions to save the world, because if you want to talk about ecosystems and the environment, you can't get worse than a nuclear explosion. So just tell the greenies we need this missile defense shield to protect the environment. And I think it'll work. But I was all geared up to talk about this on Hardball. Hardball airs on CNBC and MSNBC. And I've been on there with Chris Matthews in the past. In fact, back when we bought O.J. Simpson's jerseys and his Hall of Fame award. Let's see, Nathaniel, did you go to that? O.J. Simpson, you weren't there. We went to L.A., went to an auction, spent about $24,000, and bought O.J. Simpson's junk. When he won the Hall of Fame Award, got into the NFL Professional Football Hall of Fame, they gave him an award. So we bought that, and we bought his jerseys when he was – who did he play for? He played for – no. O.J. Simpson. He played for New York. No. Who did he – I can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember. He played for – I forget. Anyway, he won the Heisman Trophy in 1968, and we got his jersey signed 1968 Heisman. And he played for Pittsburgh, didn't he? No. I can't remember. Isn't that funny? I can't remember. At any rate, who cares? He's a murderer. And he shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame anymore. Anyway, we went to Los Angeles. We bought his memorabilia. We spent $24,000 on two jerseys and a Hall of Fame award. And then the next day at noon, we brought him to the L.A. courthouse and we burned them. And it was in USA Today and People Magazine and all the network news. And it was a blast. We had a good time burning O.J.'s memorabilia. And O.J. got upset and said that we were all messed up. And we had fun. And we did about 100 interviews regarding that. And I was on Chris Matthews on Hardball for that episode. And that was enjoyable. We had a great interview. And he asked me if I was going to deduct the $24,000 from my taxes. And I said, of course. And that was the end of that interview. But Chris is supposedly a conservative, sort of, not really. If you're a conservative on a cable news show, you're really a liberal. A conservative on cable news is a liberal in the real world. So Chris Matthews and Alan Combs, they're saying, we can't do it. We can't build a missile defense system that would shoot down a missile. It's too hard. It's too expensive. We just can't accomplish it. These guys forget we went to the moon. We invented computers and the internet and genetic science. They forget that we did that, America. You know, the communists have more faith in America than do the liberals. Because the communist Chinese, they're afraid that we can build a missile defense system, and they don't want us to do it. They don't want us to try. And they're doing everything they can to lobby to get us to stop building a missile defense shield. The same thing with Russia and all the communists that are still in the Politburo in Moscow. They do not want us to even try to build a missile defense shield. Why not? If we can't do it, we'd spend billions of dollars and we'd take it out of our defense budget. So we'd have less functioning weapons. You'd think they'd be thrilled. But the communist Chinese and the Russians, they know we can do it, and that's why they're against us trying. So the communists have more faith in America than do the Democrats and the liberals. I wanted to let Chris Matthews know that. You don't get anywhere voting against American ingenuity. And so they have all these arguments against us building a missile defense shield. And there's different ways to build a defense shield. I was talking to two engineers over the weekend, one working in the current missile defense project for the military, and the other, who's retired, worked on a former project regarding missile defense. And I talked to them about where we're at and where the technologies come and how we're doing. And the guy who's currently an engineer with the system, he said, and of course I would never give his name, because that would be a death knell. If Bob Inyard on KGov mentioned someone working for the government, their days employed would be few and would be numbered. But at any rate, I talked to him and he said, hey, we've had three recent tests and two failed. But the media celebrates when one of our tests fail, but we had a success. You know, shooting down a ballistic missile, that's pretty tough. It's on the order of shooting a bullet with a bullet. It's harder than that. And my son Nathaniel corrected me, saying it's harder than that because these missiles are traveling way faster than some slow-poke bullet out of a 45 or a 9mm. Good point, Nathaniel. These missiles are traveling dramatically faster. So imagine somebody is 5 football fields away from you with a rifle, and he shoots at you. Now, and he's a sharpshooter, and he's got a scope. So he's 5 football fields away. He's 500 yards away, and he shoots at you. And the only thing you have in your hand to protect yourself is another rifle. And when he shoots at you, you've got to shoot back and hit the bullet in midair to defend yourself. Now, what are the chances of that about zilch? 1 in a billion. So it's like that. In a way, it's that kind of a challenge, only there's, back when Reagan tried this in the early 80s, our technology wasn't advanced. This is computer intensive, this task, trying to do this. And we've got PCs today that are more powerful than the supercomputers of 1980 when Reagan was elected. So people saying, Chris Matthews would have probably said, we try to anticipate his questions, he would have probably said, well, how could George Bush succeed at this when Ronald Reagan failed? Reagan couldn't build a missile defense shield. And I would agree. I'd say, okay, I agree that Bush might be half the leader that Ronald Reagan was, but our technology is twice what Reagan had. I mean, we've got great computers today and incredibly brilliant engineers who say we can do it. So we got to try. When President Kennedy said we could go to the moon by the end of the decade, by the end of the 1960s, we had engineers who thought in the aerospace industry who thought he was insane because that industry was just nascent. It was just being born, and we didn't even have a satellite in space. We didn't even have anything in orbit. And Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon and put a man on the moon. And he was a leader, and he energized the entire nation, and we did it. We did what men said was impossible. So I'm talking to my one engineer friend, and he said, and I've heard this in the media, you know, the media just is thrilled when we have a test where we try to shoot down a ballistic missile with a missile, and we miss. And the media is thrilled because the media is filled with liberals, and they don't want us to shoot down missiles. Who knows why? They think it's a bad idea. They think it costs too much and we can't do it. And so we miss, and that's the headlines. And 2 out of the last 3 tests we missed, and at one we were successful and we shot down the missile. That's pretty good. But there's a little cheating going on because there were sensors involved that wouldn't have been there in an actual real-world scenario. So we scored 1 out of 3, and we cheated. Okay, granted. But it's pretty hard to shoot a bullet with a bullet. And even if you could cheat, if you could get 1 out of 3, that's not bad. That's a good start. So the Democrats, they don't have faith that we Americans have the ingenuity to do this, but of course we do. Others say this. They say, well, we shouldn't try to shoot down missiles, because that would be a waste of time. Because, yeah, you might be able to shoot down an incoming ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. You might be able to do that, but if there's a nuclear warhead on that missile and it's going to blow up Chicago and you could shoot down the missile, then somebody will put it on a plane. They'll put Saddam Hussein will put a bomb on a boat and float it to Miami and blow up Miami from the coastline. So that's what they say. They say there's no sense building a missile defense system because they'll just get around it. But a house in a floodplain still needs a smoke detector. Just because you have one problem doesn't mean you don't solve other problems. You don't run away from multiple threats. You deal with them. Okay, we could have terrorist attacks, right? And we also know there are thousands of missiles that are manufactured and owned by our enemies, like the Russians and the Chinese and Iraq. Now, Iraq, they don't have much in the way of missiles. They have those Scuds. And those Scuds were named appropriately. I remember back during the Gulf War, people asked, what do you call Iraqi women coming into a bar? And people said, scuds. And that's because during a war, people tried to sort of dehumanize the enemy. So they said, what do you call 32 Iraqi women? I said, what? A full set of teeth. A full set of teeth? Well, we saw them on CNN screaming during the war. They were all upset because they were losing. Now, during that war, Saddam Hussein shot some scuds at Israel. And we had Patriot missile batteries where we have this, it's a similar function. You've got an incoming ballistic missile, and we shoot up a rocket, and we hit some of them, and we blew up a couple of them. It would have been great if we blew them all up, but we only blew up a few. But boy, did we celebrate when we blew up a few. It was great. And the innocent civilians' lives who were saved, they were happy too. And this is a similar function at a much more significant scale. Not just these short-range theater weapons of the Scud missile of a range of a few hundred miles, but even missiles that could travel across the ocean or over the North Pole. And the lessons we learned with the Patriot is that defensive missiles really, they pull the patriotism out of the nation. I mean, Americans were proud and thrilled that we were able to. We weren't even in the war. And that's the idea that the administration right now has. Hey, we're willing to strike down missiles if we build this system aimed at our allies. You know, if Libya gets mad at France and launches a missile at France, we could shoot it down. And Saddam Hussein, Israel wasn't in the war. They were an innocent bystander nation. And Israel wasn't in the war, but we gave them Patriot missile batteries, and we were able to defend Israel to some extent. And it was great, and we need to do it on a greater scale. And it'll be just another example of the victory of the common sense of conservatives over liberals. Here on KGov, we're back on KGov Radio with Bob Inyart Live. In a few weeks, we hope to start taking calls. Of course, we'll take them at our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-8-NYART. But right now, when we're still putting together our studio, so we will not be taking calls immediately. But soon we hope. Okay, There's another argument. All right, so the liberals say we can't do it. Look at the test that failed. Look at the test that failed. Hey, in science, you know, failure is the stuff of progress. Ask Leonardo da Vinci. Ask Thomas Edison. You fail 1,000 times before you succeed. And you don't give up. Ben Franklin, ask him. So the point is, failure, some of the tests failed? No kidding. That's expected. We're trying to do a rather difficult thing, but it's worth doing. Another argument liberals make against us building a missile defense shield. Oh, and by the way, there was another success we had recently when we had an airborne laser targeted a missile in its boost phase at launch. We're launching a missile. This was a test that succeeded. This was just 2 months ago. And this isn't the one success I was just referring to. That was actually shooting down a missile. But we've got different ways we could approach this problem. One way is firing a laser at a missile in its launch phase, when it's launching or in the boost phase. And we succeeded. We targeted an airborne missile on a rocket while it was being launched, and that was another technological advance and a victory. Now, liberals say this. They say, well, we can't build a defense shield to shoot down incoming missiles because we have a treaty called the ABM Treaty. And believe it or not, young people don't know we have this treaty. This was signed in 1972. Young people never heard of the ABM Treaty. But the ABM Treaty is the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, and it says that if somebody shoots a missile at us, we can't build a system to shoot it down. Our presidents were stupid enough in the 70s and the 60s to negotiate and then to sign that treaty. And it's true. We signed, and we said, and Stephen's here in the studio. He's saying, just rip that treaty up. Just rip it up. But generally, when you make a treaty, it's an agreement. You're not supposed to go back on it. But if you got a treaty with the Roman Empire, is it worth anything? You got a treaty with Caesar Augustus, is it worth anything? Well, the guy's dead. In the Roman Empire, it's kaput. It's gone. It's dissipated in history. It no longer exists. So if you had a treaty with the Roman Empire, it wouldn't be valid because they don't exist. Well, neither does the ABM have any validity because the Soviet Union does not exist. A decade ago, it collapsed. It disappeared. So our treaty that we signed with the Soviet Union, that moved from the courthouse to the museum a decade ago, it's invalid because the Soviet Union no longer exists. So, you know, why is it? It seems so reasonable that we would build a system to shoot down incoming missiles. How could it be that we have so many liberals who are against us doing that? And I thought about that. Why is it? And I thought, well, there's a few reasons. Liberals, they don't like traditional American values. So they often side with our enemies. Like the Chinese... Now, Bill Clinton, was he a conservative or a liberal? Does anybody know? Was Bill Clinton a conservative or a liberal?
Liberal.
Liberal. He was a liberal. Now, the Chinese communists have a general named Jiang. And Jiang has been in the news over the past decade. And one of the things he did was he said in 1996, he said if the United States comes to the defense of Taiwan, you know, we say that Taiwan deserves to remain free, and the communist Chinese want to take them by force and put them under communism. And we'd say, no, the millions of people on Taiwan have a right to be free, not to live as slaves under communism and lose their free speech and right to travel and freedom of religion. See, the Chinese communists, they take all those things away from people. There's over a billion people in China, and they do not have free speech. They do not have freedom of religion. In China, if you want to go to a Christian church, you can only go to the Chinese government Christian church. And the Chinese government is officially atheistic. And they run a Christian church for those who want to go to church, but it's run by an atheistic government. It's a scam church. It's like a McDonald's church. You just drive through, and you get a number one and a Diet Coke, and that's church. And the Christians in China, they don't want to go to that church. They go to their own churches that meet in a pastor's house, and the Chinese police come in, break down the door, beat up the pastor, throw people in jail. That's freedom in China. That's called communism. So they don't have freedom of speech. For example, they can't say the government is wrong. They'll be punished if they do. They can't say communism is wrong. They don't have freedom of religion. They don't have freedom to travel. They can't just leave the country if they save up money and go to Hawaii. They can't do that. They're under a communist country. Communist countries turn their countries into jails. They put barbed wire around the borders. Because if they don't, everyone will leave because communism stinks. It doesn't work. And it takes away freedom. So anyway, this General Jiang, he said, and this was public and it was well discussed in America, he said that if America came to the defense of Taiwan, he would launch a nuclear missile at California to hit Los Angeles. Now that's a serious threat. We have thousands of nuclear warheads. China, they're communists. They can't afford much. They have about 20. But okay, one blowing up over Los Angeles would do a lot of harm. On the other hand, I was in Los Angeles last week, and I don't know that it would be all that bad, actually. No, I'm kidding. It would obviously be terrible. But, so this General Jiang, who makes this modern-day threat of using a nuke against California, he did something criminal in 1996. He funneled the illegal money to Bill Clinton's reelection campaign. Right? Now, why would he do that? Why would this Chinese general who's threatening to use a nuke against Los Angeles, why would he get money and give it to Clinton's reelection campaign? He did. Why? Because Clinton is a liberal. And liberals are idiots. And liberals side with the communist over and over and over. Now, I have an engineer in the studio. Hello, Rich. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Rich Huxford, engineer for years with the phone company. Now you're making real money with a really great company. Congratulations. And let me ask you, Rich, is it true? I just said that liberals often side with the communists.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but it's true.
It's just touchy-feely, and everybody's the same, and we all have to...
Everybody's equal.
Right. You can't let anybody get ahead or
right.
be better than anyone else.
Like you're getting ahead.
Right.
You've got a nicer car than I do. Mm-hmm. You should have a nicer car than I do. You do better work than I do.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do. Well, you do work that pays better. Yeah, we can put it that sure. way. So, but yeah, communists want everybody to be equal. Like in the Soviet Union, everybody, it doesn't matter rich or poor, you have to stand in line for 20 minutes to buy toilet paper. And if you want to buy meat for some cheeseburgers, forget it.
Right, and if you're standing on the corner and you're begging for food or you're begging for money so you can go out and buy booze, then everybody has to give him...
Everybody's got to pitch in.
Yeah, give this guy who doesn't want to work money.
Right.
So everybody loses out.
Yeah, exactly. So the Soviet Union, I mean, living in the Soviet Union was a disaster for a long, long time. For decades. It's been like living in a third world country. Like a third world country. We called it the second world. I don't know why we called it the second world. We should have just saved a numeral and just called the Soviet Union the third world. Because that's what it's like. They've got liberals. And I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed, and then it came time for perestroika and all that move a little tiny baby steps away from communism. And Dan Rather goes on national TV, and he's so sad because communism is no longer in force in Russia. And he puts on some poor slob, Vladimir, somebody or other, some farmer, and the farmer's got like almost a tear coming out of his eye, and Dan Rather said, "No one asked this man if he wanted communism to go away." So Dan Rather, just like the rest of the media, they're sad that communism fell apart.
Yeah.
Because they, liberals, side with our enemies against America. That's what they do. That's why they were against the Vietnam War, because they liked the Chinese communists that were on the side of the North Vietnamese communists who were supplied by the Russian communists. They liked those guys. It's frustrating.
Frustrating.
Yes. Sorry I interrupted you. I know you're on a union schedule. Thank you, Rich. So anyway, so why do liberals oppose a missile defense shield? They do it because they don't like traditional American values. They don't like what America has stood for, Judeo-Christian morality, family, mom, dad, and kids. They like perversion and they like thievery, stealing money, and they call it welfare. And they like abortion and homosexuality and euthanasia and all the type of amoral behavior that communists are good for. Well, in fact, sometimes they even go beyond the communists. So liberals side with our enemies so often, the communist Chinese, the Soviet Union former, they repeatedly take their side. So naturally, without even thinking about it, if the Russians and the Chinese are against the missile defense shield, then by golly, Bill Clinton and Al Gore, well, we're against it too.
Sometimes when you're alone, and remember that you feel. I said it's falling outside of sleep. Sometimes when you're alone, and remember that you feel. Again, I stand. Lord, I stand. Again I stand, Lord I stand, against the faceless man.
And we are back in our KGov studio, brand new studio, and I love it. It's neat. In our underground bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. Safe for now from a nuclear explosion until we surface. Then we'd be in trouble without our missile defense shield. Hey, when I finish talking about this missile defense issue, I've got some mail I'd like to go through. We've got a letter here from a federal judge. A federal judge sent us a handwritten letter. We'll try to get to that. And we've got an email from a couple different people that love KGov, and we're so thrilled that you guys do. And someone, a response to Bob's appearance on Politically Incorrect. This is from Gary Fox from Tulsa. And a couple other. We'll see if we'll try to get to the mail. But let's finish up this issue. So if you want the rank-and-file liberal voters to support a missile defense shield, you just got to sell it right. You don't talk about defending people, talk about animals. Tell them that few endangered species can survive a direct nuclear hit. Then they'll sign up. And you know, exploding a nuke will violate America's clean air policy. They'll pay for the shield out of the EPA budget. They'll do it. In fact, the entire EPA budget should go to missile defense shield, because nothing ruins the environment worse than a nuclear explosion. And don't we all know, even public school students know that. Right? So let's use the EPA budget for this missile defense shield so we can save a snail darter or two. All right. Now, what do we call the Cold War philosophy of the strategy of nuclear weapons, where we had the Soviet Union and the U.S., and we were always the world power in reality, but people said, well, there were two world powers. And the Soviet Union militarily was number two. All right, but we were number one. And the Soviet Union had to practically starve their people to build the bombs they did, while our prosperity leaked out our borders in every direction, and we fed half the world. And so we were able to afford defending ourselves and arming ourselves the way we did. The Soviet Union collapsed because of their effort, the amount of money they spent on their military, while our spending made us stronger. Okay, well, let's see here. The strategy we used was called MAD. You know, young people today think MAD magazine is just a comic book for kids. MAD. Well, MAD, M-A-D, stands for Mutually Assured Destruction. And that's what our strategy has been vis-a-vis the Soviet Union for decades now. It has been this. The Soviet Union will not shoot missiles at us because we can then wipe them out. And we can't attack them because they can wipe us out. Mutually assured destruction. And so that's the way it's been for decades, ever since the nuclear arms race took off in earnest. And so liberals have become accustomed to that. They sort of like it that way. They like MAD. Mutually assured destruction. Now, conservatives say, no, let's go beyond that. Let's go to defense. Let's say that if somebody shoots a missile at us, we don't have to wipe out their country. We could shoot down the missile. And that's an improvement. Because through history, every time there's a new generation of weapons, one generation gives way to the next, and weapons become obsolete. So hopefully someday, nuclear missiles, ICBMs, hopefully they'll become obsolete, at least Russia's and the breakaway Soviet republics and China's and any terrorist nation that acquires one. Hopefully they will become either way less effective or obsolete because of our defense, because we could shoot down missiles. That would be good. That'd be the next step. That'd be the next generation. But MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, that appeals to liberals. They like it. They want to immortalize nuclear missiles, saying they will be with us forever to infinity and beyond. We'll have nuclear missiles aimed at us, and we should like it. Here's why I think liberals are comfortable with that. And conservatives don't like that. Liberals, that MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, it appeals to their spirituality. What is the spirituality of liberalism? What is their faith, their religion? It's mostly nihilistic. You know, a liberal says, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. It's all over. That's what a liberal says. When you're dead, you're dead. And they also say, many of them, that the earth would be better off without people. They say, people are the problem. Get rid of people, and then you'll have a lot of bugs and I don't know, whatever they want, trees and bugs and dirt. That's what liberals like, and rocks and rain. And the people, get rid of the people, and then the liberals are happy. So they're comfortable. Liberals are comfortable with mutually assured destruction. Because to them, that's heaven. To them, that's heaven. That we Christians, we look forward when we die because we believe in Jesus, we can live forever in heaven. They think when they die, they're annihilated. It's done. It's over. It's finished. And so mutually assured destruction, so what? C'est la vie. They don't care. The world will be better off because the people will be dead. Judeo-Christianity looks to an eternal paradise. So when we see destruction and potential destruction, we don't like it, and we like to change it. So right-wing Christians and those in the world who we've influenced the most, they tend to get more angry at things like murder and abortion and euthanasia. Then liberals, they don't care. You tell them 4,000 babies are killed in the womb every day in America, they don't care. You tell them one out of four American blacks have been killed by Planned Parenthood and other abortionists. One out of four blacks in America have been killed by abortionists. They don't care. To a conservative Christian, that's a horrifying thought. Yet they call us racists. The liberals don't care, and they think, well, you know, those poor people in the inner city, they can't afford kids anyway. It's better to abort them. See, that's racism. And you know why there's still white guys in the NBA? Why? And I could ask this to our studio audience. Why are there still white guys in the NBA? It's because we've aborted 10 million blacks. If there were another 10 million blacks to try out, there wouldn't be a single white guy in the NBA. And that would be fine. That'd be great. You know, we killed 10 million blacks. And those numbers are a bit out of date. It's more now. I've been using those statistics for a few years now. All right. Liberals also say, we don't have to shoot down missiles because no one's going to shoot a missile at us because we don't have any enemies. The Soviet Union collapsed, and Russia is now malevolent, and the Chinese communists, all they want is peace and harmony and rice paddies. So the world is really fine, except for a few minor terrorists. Like Bishop Tutu and Arafat. Well, they don't usually mention those guys as terrorists, but... So they say the threat is gone. There's no longer a threat. Well, the communist Chinese held our U.S. flight crew hostage just a month ago. That's a nation, supposedly a civilized nation, not, but supposedly that we have most favored nation trading status with, and our plane goes down, and they hold them hostage. Come on with that. What's up? And then the Washington Times reported, and I don't know, this story is not widely known, but the Washington Times reported that this year, 2001, Russia and China had a joint military exercise. And in this exercise, they simulated firing nuclear weapons on U.S. forces and on NATO forces in Europe. This year. They did that in February. That was in the Washington Times, April 30th of this year. Remember the Chinese General Zhang, who we just talked about, who threatened us, saying they could nuke California. They can. You know, and all the... You wonder, why were they raising money for Bill Clinton's campaign? And Bill Clinton had Chinese money in his campaigns from back when he was in Arkansas running for attorney general and the governor of Arkansas and then the presidency and re-election. The Chinese communists have been funding Bill Clinton throughout his career. What's with that? Man. And, yeah, there are threats out there. There are serious threats, And I think the leading threat against us right now, even though the Soviet Union still, even though they've collapsed, Russia's got more military might as far as missiles and nuclear weapons. I think the biggest threat to us right now, the biggest threat is coming from the communist Chinese. We're back. Bob and you're live on KGov. You'll be able to call in a few weeks at 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So that's the missile defense shield story. And our allies, the American media, said all of our allies, there is monolithic opposition to this defense shield idea. We shouldn't do it. And that's not quite true. You know, preparing for this interview that never occurred with Chris Matthews. And really, this was more fun anyway. If I went on Hardball, I'd probably get 2 minutes broken up into four segments or six to say what I just said. And obviously, it wouldn't have been as fun. But it would have been worthwhile, but not as fun. And it's always so difficult to make the arguments in those constrained circumstances. But I was looking at an article in Jane's Intelligence Review from June 1st. And it turns out that India is very upbeat about a missile shield. They like the idea. And India believes that America will convince our European allies that we should build a shield, because when you're right, you're right. But why would India be so inclined to side with us when so many other nations are against us? Well, they're neighbors of China, and they live China's aggression day in and day out. They're afraid of China, and they're not too tickled pink with the Russians to the north of them either. And so India has become increasingly friendly with America, and they're all for this missile defense shield. So, all right, that's it for that. That's it. That's it for a missile defense shield. Now, I want to get to some of the mail. We've got a response to my appearance on Politically Incorrect from Tulsa. And we've got a handwritten letter from a federal judge. Now, this is cool. You know, federal judges, most of them stink. Most federal judges stink. This one, who I will not name, this one is great. He has been a supporter of our criminal justice system. The seminar we've done around the country. He's been a supporter of our Constitution that we'd like to replace the U.S. Constitution with one based on the Bible. And the God's Criminal Justice System seminar that we've done and is available on tape. This judge, this federal judge, has been a strong supporter privately, though, because if he speaks out publicly, he would be booted from the bench. Beyond any doubt, he and I have discussed this at length. And if and when he decides to retire, that's when he'll go public with his support of what we do. But so here's a handwritten letter from this federal judge. Dear Bob and Cheryl, here are some more boys' clothes I hope you can use. Huh? Why would a judge say that? Why would a federal judge write us a handwritten letter saying, here are some more boys' clothes I hope you can use? Because this federal judge has boys that are older than our little three boys, and when his kids outgrow their clothes, for 3 years he's been mailing us their clothes. And that's what Zachary and Michael have been wearing since they've been born. The clothes of a federal judge's kids. That's pretty cool. So, dear Bob and Cheryl, here are some more boys' clothes I hope you can use. Thanks, Bob, thanks to your outstanding teaching, I have been able to improve even my family's life. For instance, this year I have homeschooled one of my boys. I used the Abeka video program. That's a curriculum that's very popular. Abeka, A-B-E-K-A. I used the Abeka video program, which I highly recommend. All right. Now, by the way, I just want to let you know that now my son's telling me that someone listening to the show live said, why are the bumps so different than they've been for the last 10 years? That's because they're from my stepson's collection, the CD collection. He has only the finest of music. That Cheryl and I are going to have to go through and censor. So anyway, okay. Now, we monitor what our kids listen to, what they watch, where they go. We go with them if they're going to go to the Y and play basketball or to the park. We go. We have a good time. They want to go play street roller hockey? Want to go play street hockey? We'll go with them. It's fine. All right, now, so this letter from a federal, what an encouraging thing. My wife got this, and she said, honey, we got another letter from, and, of course, I won't tell you his name, but, Bob, thanks to your outstanding teaching, I've been able to improve my family's life, and he's homeschooling one of his boys. Next school year, I will homeschool both of my boys. As always, I am really grateful for your teaching and your battles for the Lord. Your unbounded enthusiasm is really inspirational. Sincerely, I can't say his name, but ain't that nice. Here's an email from Gary in Tulsa. Response to Bob's appearance on Politically Incorrect. I can't stand the host, Mr. Bill. And it seems that it's okay for him to make jokes about everyone, but as soon as Bob Enyart said that Bill Maher was anti-marriage, Mr. Bill had a stroke. He couldn't believe that someone on his show was standing up to him. Anyway, it was good to see Mr. Enyart. I sure miss his show here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He turned my life around and went away. I never heard it said quite that way. Bob turned my life around and went away. I'm sorry, Gary. I wish I was still on in Tulsa and 79 other cities. I consider Mr. Enyart my mentor, and I hate it that he's never allowed to finish a sentence on Politically Correct. Good point. Good point, Gary. And thank you for that email. Then we got an email here from Chuck Norton. And Chuck, I'm not sure what state Chuck writes to us from, but he loves KGov. That's so nice of you to say, Chuck. But he asks a question. He said, I've heard that Canadian TV and radio stations were hesitant to air Bob Enyart Live because you opposed homosexuality. And I've heard this, he says, and where can I find out about Canada's regulations that prohibit opposing homos on TV and radio in Canada? And so I just went into my notes and found something I could point him to. I I actually had one of our staffers reply to his email. But the Canadian Association of Broadcasters, they have a code of ethics. And their clause number 2 and their 6th clause of the Canadian Association of Broadcasters code of ethics really strongly urge programmers not to say anything discriminatory against homos. In fact, I have their code of ethics clause 2 right here. This is their human rights clause, of all things. And it says that broadcasters shall ensure that their programming contains no discriminatory material based on matters of race, ethnic, sex, sexual orientation, so and so and so on. So, and clause 6 says they have to give a full, fair, and proper presentation of the news. So, for example, when Dr. Laura said that homosexuality was aberrant, they condemned her on violation of clause 6 because she didn't give a full presentation of news and opinion, they say. You need a full presentation. So if you're going to say homos are gross, you have to have someone else on the show saying homos are wonderful, that they're canonized, that they're saints, that they're heroes just because they're homos. You need to balance both sides. Obviously, we never did that on my show. If a homo called in, I took out my can of Gayaway for men or Dykoff for women, and I sprayed them. It went like this. You can't hear that, but I sprayed the homos over the phone, and it got rid of them. Somehow they'd hang up, or we'd hang up on them, but not after we soundly defeated them in debate. So that's where you could get that. And by the way, the way they interpret their code of ethics, they say they interpret it based on a long list of Canadian laws and regulations and charters. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms says that sexual orientation must be protected and not discriminated against, as well as does their radio regulations of 1986 and their television broadcasting regulations of 1987 and the Canadian Human Rights Act and all other relevant federal and provincial human rights legislation as required by the Supreme Court of Canada. Chuck, if that answers your question, that's why the Canadians never aired Bob and Yurt Live. We had some radio and TV broadcasters in Canada who wanted to air the program, but they said they couldn't. It would be in violation of the law, and they might have their license taken away. That's the world we have to fight, folks, but let's keep fighting it. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. And